The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour, and I want to hit the rewind button. Way back at the beginning of the program, we discussed this, for me anyway, a shocking decision by the Supreme Court. But I wanted to get some other perspective on this, and that's why I immediately contacted Aaron Baer, who is the president of Citizens for Community Values. Aaron, it's a delight to have you on the program again. Aaron, were you shocked, as I was, by this Supreme Court decision, or did you expect it?
That's the right word for it, to be honest. A lot of times, you know me, Bob. I'm one that always wants to find the silver lining, always wants to find the upshot. There's an honest assessment here that this was a shocking and frankly just terrible decision today from a court that one we expected more out of. To be honest, we expected a whole lot more out of somebody like Neil Gorsuch in particular, and even Chief Justice Roberts.
When Gorsuch was up for confirmation, I and many others, I don't remember whether you and I talked about it, but I was deeply concerned about the church that he was involved in. Leaned far to the left theologically, and particularly in the issues of gender and sexuality. They were a same-sex affirming congregation. And I wondered if that gave us some kind of indication about Gorsuch's views on gender, sexuality, family, and so forth. Was that a red flag that possibly was missed in his confirmation?
Yeah, you know, Bob, in retrospect, potentially yes. I think in the nature of this decision, you have the legal and you have the cultural and the personal, which we try to segregate out from each other. And you hope a guy like Gorsuch, who's somebody who prides himself, has written books about being an originalist, a textualist, and so somebody who would be able to separate out their personal beliefs from the way that they go about judging or ruling as a judge. So the ideal is, even no matter what somebody might think personally, they're able to rule in a very straightforward and sort of separation of in a way that respects the separation of powers. But when you read the Gorsuch decision and how just the painstaking logical gymnastics he has to go through to come to the decision that he did, you can't help but imagine that there is that his personal biases or whatever those may be are leaking into his decision making.
Well, and Kavanaugh, in his dissent, issues a very strong dissent and accuses the majority here. And again, this was a 6-3 ruling. Kavanaugh accuses the majority of legislating from the bench. And in my mind, there's hardly an accusation more serious than the Supreme Court or any court legislating rather than interpreting. How does someone like Gorsuch, who has a pretty conservative background, do the mental gymnastics to come to this kind of decision? Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, no, honestly, Bob, that is, there's no better example of what's happened here. And what I've been talking about, I mean, even from the beginning of this, when this case first came up, there's no better and more clear example of the fact that this is legislating from the bench, quintessentially trying to legislate from the bench, because at the same time, you have the left arguing that the word sex really means and includes sexual orientation and gender identity. They're also pushing laws, they're pushing bills to add sexual orientation and gender identity to the law. Now, if they really believed that sex included these two words, they wouldn't be pushing these bills, because they would just purely be saying, listen, this, it's already in the law. We don't need to pass more bills. We already have it in law. But they don't even believe their own ridiculous arguments that sex, the word sex, especially as understood in 1954 when Title VII was enacted, includes these two words. So very clearly they were able to, by the sovereign hand of Neil Gorsuch and Chief Justice Roberts, rewrite law from the bench to include these two words and pass their bills, pass their legislative agenda successfully through the U.S. Supreme Court. That's what's happened here more blatantly than almost any other example I can think of.
Well, let me read a little bit of Gorsuch's decision here. He said, quote, "Ours is a society of written laws. Judges are not free to overlook plain statutory commands on the strength of nothing more than suppositions about intentions or guesswork about expectations." Now, if we were to stop right there, Aaron, I would think this is a slam dunk. He is going to rule in favor of the skydiving place, the child welfare agency, and most importantly, the Michigan Funeral Home. But he goes on. "In Title VII, Congress adopted broad language, making it illegal for an employer to rely on an employee's sex when deciding to fire that employee. We do not hesitate to recognize today a necessary consequence of that legislative choice. An employer who fires an individual merely for being gay or transgender defies the law." But Aaron, transgender scientifically does not exist. This man who wanted to dress like a woman at the Michigan Funeral Home was biologically, anatomically, and chromosomally male. We have a Supreme Court justice actually defying settled science and making a made-up fairy tale term, transgender, as a basis for a Supreme Court decision.
Bob, there's no better way of putting it. The bottom line here is that and this is what we've been saying to the press and to lawmakers all day today, is that, you know, typically when the Supreme Court comes out with a decision, they're supposed to be answering questions, not creating more. And
correct.
What they've done with this decision is they've created nothing but mass chaos, because everything else, once sex no longer means biological male or biological female, everything else becomes nonsensical. It makes no sense for us to have, for example, Title IX that guarantees women the right to have a fair and level playing field in public school athletics. How can we protect and say that women should have an opportunity to compete fairly only against other women if anybody can be a woman? It no longer, everything becomes nonsensical. How can we say, other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions that have said women in prison have the right to not be seen nude or naked by male prison guards, if we can't even decide or say what a woman is? If all I have to do is declare that I am a woman and therefore I am, this whole structure of law and all of these other aspects of society become completely nonsensical. And that's ultimately what Justice Gorsuch has done here, is he's turned society upside down, because we can't even look at ourselves and figure out what our own sex is anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's all fluid.
Aaron, can I keep you one more segment?
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking with Aaron Baer, president of Citizens for Community Values, and we are discussing a shocking Supreme Court decision. I didn't see this coming. I honestly did not see this coming, and I don't think most other people who love the Constitution could see it either. Quick break, and we will be back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Now, people who love the family and love the Constitution are reeling today over a Supreme Court decision that says that an employer cannot make employee decisions based on their gender or their gender identity or their perceived gender identity. On the line with me is Aaron Baer, president of Citizens for Community Values. Aaron, if a person really believes that they're a carrot, and I mean, they really believe that, and they show up at the local funeral home greeting grieving families dressed up like a carrot, you think they could be fired?
Honestly, Bob, the nature of this question has completely gone out the window.
I was being facetious, like, but it could be taken to that extreme.
Well, honestly, Bob, we're having more and more stories come up where children in schools want to identify as animals, and schools feel forced to take that seriously because the students are genuinely saying that's how they identify.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many. This reminds me, as I read this decision and I digest it, it very much reminds me of the Obergefell decision, which was, you know, a opinion that was targeted answering a very narrow question. And the Obergefell decision is a same-sex marriage decision that created same-sex marriage in America. But the sweeping implications of it and the nonsensical reasoning behind it, for example, one of the things that we always talked about with that decision was that Kennedy, for some reason, limited his decision to that two people who love each other could get married. But he never justified why, once you separate marriage from the Biological Procreation Act, why only two people? If three people, right, four people, five people have affection for each other, why not polygamy? And that's, we're actually beginning to see that decision be the ground for polygamy. In the same way, I think we're going to see this court decision become, you know, something that is leveraged to create a whole new series of rights on self-identification that is nonsensical and dangerous and harmful to kids and freedom. And I mean, again, Bob, I got to just step back and just say one very important thing. Christ is still on the throne today.
Yeah, amen.
I'm shocked by this decision. You're shocked by the decision. He's not. He's even more brokenhearted than we are by it.
Yeah.
So I do not dismay at this, but it's frustrating and it's bad.
You mentioned the Obergefell, and I probably always mispronounce that, but the Supreme Court decision making same-sex marriage legal. I'm reading from some conservative commentators who honestly believe that this decision today could be even more consequential than the Obergefell decision. Do you sense that at all?
In terms of, so you know, it's important to understand that we're not here without Obergefell, but this is where that snowball that started even well before Obergefell, but this is where that snowball that picked up steam with Obergefell starts to pick up even more steam. You know, Alito laid out a number of these issues and his dissent in terms of what does this mean for, by nature, sex-segregated bathrooms and locker rooms and showers and facilities discriminate on the basis of sex. We've always, in a certain form, discriminated, say, hey,
of course,
men cannot go here, women cannot go here. And we've understood there's a reason for that. But we've not denied opportunities that men and women are similarly and equally situated for from women accessing or from men accessing. That's the way this has always been understood. This law has been well settled for a long time. Gorsuch, with his very obscure argument that he's making, has thrown all of that into question. We have to go back and relitigate what that looks like in this light. And I frankly don't see any way to do that in a logically consistent way that protects the safety and dignity and privacy of women. As somebody, as the father of daughters, I shudder imagining what this is going to mean for my girls as they grow.
In the final moments that we have, Aaron, we're talking with Aaron Baer, president of Citizens for Community Values. Does this make the courts even more of an election issue between now and November?
Well, unless this should make the courts even more, but I'll say two things. First and foremost, this is a call for Congress and our state lawmakers to get off their tookuses and start to actually govern instead of just counting on the courts to bail them out. For far too long, I've heard lawmakers say, well, the courts are going to figure that out. No, you get in there and do your job and pass laws that are clear and concise and say what the law actually is. So no more kicking it to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, Donald Trump and every U.S. senator needs to answer for why when we even have the opportunity to get things done, we keep putting people on the bench that think Obamacare is somehow magically a tax, even though they said it was never a tax, and think that the word sex is somehow too hard to understand for mere mortals, and we need Oxford-level attorneys to tell us what these words mean when we can look in the mirror and figure it out for ourselves.
Well, good points. Good points. And it reminds me, Aaron, when we do talk about justices, we need to check their theology, because that is the foundation for all that they do, all that they believe. I'm asked often, what happened to John Kasich? Well, right. His theology went left. And that's what happened to John Kasich. His theology went left. His theology went left before his politics did. Okay. And evidently Gorsuch was an adherent of some leftist theology that we were not aware of or we didn't pay any attention to. Well, Aaron, I am so glad you brought it around to the fact that God is in control. This did not surprise him. God is not pacing the halls of heaven wondering what in the world he's going to do now. And it's wonderful to know that we serve a sovereign God. And it's wonderful to know that Citizens for Community Values is standing for all that you do and doing all that you do. And from all of us here in Ohio, thank you, Aaron, and Citizens for Community Values. God bless you.
Hey, bless you, Bob. Great for you.
All right, you as well. Bobberty Live will continue. Stay tuned.